When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Gabby Reece Show.
All right, Elijah Allen Blitz. Here we are in our bonus episodes. And, you know, I was reminded the other day when we shot a video about, and we'll go over some of the questions people had, is maybe you could just, and why I pick on you to be my liaison to technology, maybe you could share just, first of all, your fascination with it, and then in some of the ways you've implemented it into your own work and career, because you've been in so many ways on a few occasions had to cut the path as you walked it. So maybe we could just, we can start there, because I think a lot of times we dive right in, but people don't know how you have been experiencing technology these last several years.
Yeah. So you mean not just AI, just in my life, technology in general? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess it started like when I was little, because I was always, I'll pull this closer. I was always making movies. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember being like a little kid running around with like a old VHS camera we had at the house. And I remember when the first version of iMovie came out, and it was like, I was always using technology to try and tell better stories, or like make trying to get whatever I had in my head out. And, so that, you know, progressed throughout my life. And then about 10 years ago, I saw my first VR experience. And I was just like, it's not like, oh, that's the answer. But it was like, this is going to be part of the future. Mm-hmm. And so I started exploring that. And it was like this synchronistic snowball from the universe just saying like, yeah, this is the path. And all these things started happening. And it, I just went down that road and became exposed to a lot of incredible companies in the technology space doing a lot of different things. Then, yeah, like you were saying, being told that things were impossible, like wanting to do hand tracking in virtual reality. Oh, no, that's not possible. Now every Oculus has hand tracking built into it.
Share about the empathy project you did with Van, because that's where you wanted to do the hand tracking, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So that was 2016, and it was right after Trump got elected. And this is Van Jones, and I were working on a separate project, and we got on the phone and just said, we need to pivot. We need to see if we can use the power of this medium, virtual reality, where like when you're in a VR headset, part of your brain is believing that what you're seeing is reality. So you're storing it not as something you've witnessed, but actually as a memory that you've experienced. So there's incredible responsibility with that. You're not just showing someone a movie and being like, do you like it or not? It's like you're actually putting a memory into someone's brain, essentially. So what we did was we were like, all right, how can we use the power of this tool to do good and try and bring everyone together? Because it was so fragmented. It is so fragmented. So what we did was we developed this series where it put the viewer in someone else's shoes, literally. And that's where the hand tracking came in. You would look down and you could see your hands, not holding controllers, but they would be of either a different race or a different gender, and you were mm-hmm. completely embodied in someone else's shoes. So that's still a project we're still working on and trying to make as many episodes as possible and push that forward. And then, you know, stuff in the AR space, like I had this idea for years of wanting to create an experience where it was a, you know, film you could watch, and then you could hold your device up to the screen and it would come out of the television into your room. And again, that's not possible. We can't do that. That's not possible. And finally, after enough pushing and banging my head against a wall and finding the right team at Disney and with a lot of support from a lot of people, we made that. And it was like, oh yeah, not only is it possible, but it works and people like it. So, mm-hmm. With AI, it's almost like, there, I've said this before, but it's all of those different things are these tools, AR, VR, all these, you know, I even editing, you know, iMovie, whatever. Those are all these different technologies and little pinpoints, but AI is this fundamental meta technology that informs and elevates and uplifts all of these other, like anything you do with a computer, anything that involves technology, it's just going to affect that. And I think uplift it in most cases.
I'm trying to remember, was it the color of the moon or reflection off the water? What was something that you really, in remembering the project you were talking about that you did with Disney, I remember that you were navigating something, starlight.
Navigating
with,
in
yeah, like it, they couldn't get it right. It was something big. What was it?
So there was a moment in the short film, Remembering, where the because we filmed it on LED volume, these giant LED panels. And so part of that was, you know, we cast our friend Dusty, who happens to be 6 years old. And so she's in it. And part of the goal with filming on the giant LED volume was I wanted her to be able to react to the things that she was seeing in real time. And we would just be filming. We would never call action. It was like working with a 6 year old. We just get her real genuine reaction, whatever's happening. So the night before we were supposed to film this scene where this basically this comet is shooting across the sky, the guys at the stage are like, oh yeah, we can't get anything moving, like it's just gonna have to be a still image. And I was like, no, that's not okay. Like, and I'm very collaborative, like I love making movies because it is the most collaborative medium. It's all about collaboration, and I love that. And there are points where I'm just like, no, like that's not okay. So I literally sat on the floor with them like till I think 3 a.m. but the night before we were shooting. And it was just like, no, we got to figure it out. We're just going through every single thing that we could do. And we ended up figuring out. And I remember at 3 a.m, just finally they got the comet shooting across the screen and everyone's just like, yeah. Like, so, and that's in the movie. And you actually see, there's a shot where you see Dusty's face looking at the comet. And not only do you see her genuine reaction when she sees the comet go across the sky, but you see the real reflection of the comet reflected in her eyes. And it's like, that's something, you know, you'd have to do in post or with green screen, it would be fake, but it's like, you see this little girl's reaction and the real reflection of this thing happening. So anyway, there's those are the moments where it's like the persistency is essential.
Yeah.
I don't know if persistency is a word, but being persistent.
Being persistent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I sometimes can't help when I think and I hear these stories, like sometimes if we lived, and I can only ask this question because I'm guilty of it. So this is not a, this is a sort of a self-reflective question. It's almost like we're using this technology to feel all these things that if we, you know, like the other day, there was a rainbow, I'm not kidding, so big in front of my house. But it's almost like the ability to appreciate it, to be in awe of it, to wonder, is it's being cut down by technology. Because I feel like my brain is like, yeah, that's good. What else? What next?
Right.
So it's really been an interesting thing to sort of be start to really pay attention to that. And find the ways to slow it down. In fact, I was listening to one of the guys from All In that you really like, and he was talking about his son. I believe it was a son, and that they wanted to put him on medication. And he goes, yeah, you know what we did? We took his iPad because it was about concentration.
Yeah.
And so I'm just saying, the amount of compassion I have for young people, I mean, like I'm old. You know what I mean?
You're not
as far as like, I didn't even get a cell phone until I was whatever,
right.
23, 24 years old. Didn't exist. Never mind a smartphone.
Yeah.
Smartphone was 36, 37.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That it's weirdly, it's almost like where does that, I'm always curious where this natural internal desire to turn it over, to not put effort into it, to be entertained, to be amused, for it to show us versus like, oh, I'll just climb up to the top of the hill so I can really see the sunset. Yeah, well, you know, I'll just be here. So it's just been a really daunting thing because I feel like it does take over.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it is a natural inclination to try and, you know, path of least resistance. I think that's kind of built into us, is like conserve energy. And so I think with all of this technology that we are totally inundated with, that we have to be conscious, and we do that. And we talk about it, but that is important to actually live it, you know?
Because it does cut into your happiness.
Yeah.
Never mind like your practice. It can cut into your happiness.
For sure.
I can feel it. When I spent too much time on my phone, and I can make a million reasons, it could be for work, it could be for this, I can feel that I'm less curious. I'm flatter.
Mm.
So
that's a good word, flatter.
Just flatter.
I know what you mean.
I'm more disconnected.
Yeah. No, I've seen, and it's the same example, kind of what you were saying with the rainbow, but you know, you see people and they're like, see something amazing. And instead of just going, oh, wow.
Taking it in and yeah, recording just, it with their eyeballs.
Oh yeah. And they're just looking at the screen. It's like, wait, you're looking at a mini version so you can show someone later. Like what are you doing? Like just
take feel it in. It.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I love, you know, at concerts or different events when you see the person who's performing or the artist just say, hey, stop. Yeah. Like just be here, you know, and I've seen that happen many times and it's that, that's the point.
Yeah.
Like let's be present.
Yeah. So with that, we'll dive into our conversation. We ask people to ask us questions. So I think it's, let's talk about healthcare because that seemed to come up over and over. And AI and the positive impacts on the healthcare industry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say it because I do a lot of these interviews and I am painfully diplomatic, I think.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to get good information out. I'm actually not trying to be controversial.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a difference, right?
Definitely.
But it's not that big of a deal. We all know that healthcare is really sick care. And the model is for intentionally or unintentionally, for greed or other reasons or unintentionally, it's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not new. We throw a pill at everything. We don't consider lifestyle. You know, the other fascinating thing for me going on right now is some of the stuff that they're trying to take off the market, like NAD, IVs, peptides. Yep. I heard that Conover's kind of, they're circling around him, giving him a hard time. So, okay. It is what it is. So does AI create more control for the people using it? I know it gives us insights. Like, oh, your sleep's been off or you're 30% greater chance of having a heart attack and I get that. But what does it look like to you?
Well, so I mean, there's so many applications for AI in healthcare, but to the specific point you just brought up in terms of like, does it give more control? There's a really interesting example of how it actually takes away control from the people in power that are running, have been running the system, where I read this stat. It was like, you know, over the last decade or 20, I don't even know how many years, but you look at the numbers of medical papers that have been retracted and it's like, you know, 2019, it was like, you know, there are 34 papers and it's like 2021, like 22 papers. And it's like all, you know, 10, 20, 30 papers a year being retracted. Last year, because ChatGPT-3 comes out and in 2023, there were 10,000 medical papers retracted because we now have the ability just in a large way to feed all of these things in it and just say, find the flaws. And 10, that you could go from like 30, 20, 30 papers, 10,000 in 1 year.
Yeah.
That's incredible because it also just, so yeah, I think to me, that shows an example of taking the power away from those that are trying to dictate the narrative.
And that, so an interesting interview was Pierre Corey talking about that, right? Wasn't that Pierre Corey talking about the when he realized the papers were captured?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you remember what that was on?
I don't remember, but I
and it was a very short interview. Yeah. It was succinct, but it was just sort of saying these places that you went for highly credible information, you realized there was a sort of, you know, an issue with,
for sure,
with that as well.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting. And then I guess for me, you know, and even talking about, you know, in order for AI to work, right, things have to be housed in order for it to work and the amount of energy and all these things. So I still in my mind think, well, somebody's controlling that.
Uh-huh.
It won't be me.
Yeah. The power centers, like where the
data is. Yeah. And where this AI lives, you know. So how do you... There's your optimism again.
Oh my God. No, but the reality is that like, yes, there are those giant data centers and there's also people working very hard to create these open source models that can just live on your device and you have complete control over it. So that is happening simultaneously.
But see, okay, even when you say that,
again,
my kind of rough mind, again, I'm not a tech person at all. I can barely get through it. I go, yeah, but that computer or this device that I'm going to be holding this on is controlled and monitored by all these other people and situations anyway.
But it doesn't have to. There are ways.
What do you mean?
There are ways to make. You could use, you know, if you really wanted to go down that rabbit hole, it's like you could use what's called a Brave browser. You could find all these things, and like you could totally get this thing, like a what they call it, a jailbroken device. Like you jailbreak it, and you just have it totally offline, separate from anything. It's not connected to a cloud. It's totally in your control with your own privacy standards.
And you believe that?
I think it's possible. I know people that have done it.
Yeah, and they live in Silicon Valley.
Well, or no, they're all over the world. But they have a really rigorous pursuit. They like this is what really matters to them. Like to me, that's so much work that it's also like I don't have things I'm trying to hide like that, so I'm not going that far. But that, if you care that much about it, it's definitely possible.
So in your mind, like for fun, let's just play a little game of in 3 years how AI can affect just healthcare.
Okay.
Our health tracking.
Yeah.
Our diagnoses, whatever it is.
Yeah.
What do you just go get crazy? Don't be limited, but maybe connect it to what we know exists today.
Yeah. Well, that's what's so interesting is like, even if we talked about, let's just start with what's available right now, because that is so crazy. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy that people don't realize that this is available. Even, you know, because when you say healthcare and, you know, how do I, you know, help with my health? And is that diet? Is that sleep? Is that exercise? What is the thing you're focusing on? There are things and applications for that using AI for any of those things and more, like whatever your specific case is. I think we talked about the example where there was this mom whose son, you know, was like misdiagnosed by 17 different doctors that couldn't figure out what's going on. And she put all the symptoms into ChatGPT and it said, well, it might be this. And she took it to a new doctor and he was like, oh, it is exactly that. And they tested him for it. And that's something they're actually using in medical schools is they're finding new ways to diagnose patients. And they're even saying, you know, using the AI programs to say, come up with, you know, what could this be kind of outside of the box that we're thinking in? You know, of the diagnosis for this. And so, I mean, this is stuff that's just here right now. Mm-hmm. Again, we've talked about this before, feeding all of your blood work. You can take PDFs and you can upload that into ChatGPT right now. And you, or even Claude or Google's Gemini or any of them, you know, you can upload documents. And you
Google's
can
say, Gemini?
Well, Gemini, the Gemini thing that was around the image generation we talked about. That
I'm
is
a large Chinese man, according to.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, there were female black Nazis, according to that. But that was the art generator. But yeah, anyway, with the, I'm just trying to, you know, it's not just ChatGPT is why I was bringing it up. Is there's really those are the big three main ones that are so easy to use. But yeah, again, you can just upload all of your, not just blood work, but any medical records you have over however long you've had them. And it will see the date and we'll be able to analyze the whole thing. And you could say, you know, help me understand trends that you notice or what is going on with my LDL or my hormones or what is this? And, you know, help me. Like, you can even say, explain this to me like I'm five.
Traditionally, what I'm going to be curious about is the source going to be trained? Is the AI going to be trained through our traditional medical books and learning and system and say, well, based on your numbers and your LDL, you should take a statin? Or is it going to take information from everywhere and say, well, that's a complicated question, and based on all your numbers or your genetic predisposition to have high cholesterol or not, statins actually don't appear to be working that much from what I see when you look at statistically more prescriptions than ever, higher cholesterol, same with diabetes, same with a bunch of things. That's the other part. AI is learning from the internet.
Yes.
Right. So how is it going to break free of the system that's already in place?
You ask it to. You say, analyze this like you're
a naturopath
or Paul Check, you know, or whoever, you know, but somebody that you, if that is your inclination, like
do you think that's possible?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because you said it's trained on the internet. Okay. So that's everything that was out there. Wow. So it's, and I think more of those things are coming. Like
tell
we talked
me
about.
Like it's from the Liver King.
I wouldn't do that. Would not recommend that. It's totally
just
possible.
Kidding.
Yeah. Yes. But I think that things like that are only going to get a lot better. We've talked about what they're trying to do at Ways to Wells, and they're developing their own chatbot that is completely functional health oriented. Yeah. And it is that, you know, it is that open-minded thinking. It's a different way. It's a holistic perspective on medicine, you know, because it's like, I don't even know how many nutrition courses doctors have in this country, When we see the medical system, you realize it's different across the world, but this country specifically, I don't even know if they're required to take a nutrition course.
Yeah, I don't think they connect. Yeah. Don't be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Food doesn't have anything to do with your health.
No, I'm just prescribed the medication.
Totally different.
Yeah, give a pill.
I would not take a vitamin, but you know what? That blue pill, whatever it is.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Let's go. That's what I was like. How much vitamin C are you taking? Do you feel comfortable with that? I'm like, okay.
You mean if the chatbot said that to you?
No, I just love like the contrast sometimes with people. Like they'll be so quick to take a pill from a doctor, but then if you go, hey, a multi or a thing, they're just like, well, you know, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I know the thinking's going to change. You can probably tell what kind of mood I'm in today. It's Friday.
It's happy Friday.
It's like, look at her. I've talked to a lot of people this week. And I'm just like, do you think the thinking is going to change? Do you think the thinking is changing, that people are willing to take accountability, that they don't want just a magic bullet or a magic pill for real, because that does not exist? Do you think we're going to culturally move into a place where people want to be more accountable? Or you just think it's going to be the group that does, and they'll get to get more information, be healthier, try to stay on top of it. And the group that doesn't, they're just going to, you know, sort of drift off into whatever new experiment is going to be happening to try to keep people healthy in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there will be both ends of those extremes, and there'll be a lot of gray area. I don't think it's just going to be just that black and white. I think there's going to be a lot of overlap, but I think both directions are going to happen. And it will be partly using these tools to say, okay, I don't want the app that's telling me all of the data from traditional Western medicine. I would like, you know, that's more open-minded, you know, cutting edge, functional medicine approach.
Right.
Like one actual example I had, we've talked about it before, but one of the GPTs in the GPT store. So I noticed in some of the comments, people were like, well, break it down, like, you know, make it really simple. So I'm like, all right. So just really simple. In the ChatGPT, you have to have the paid program. It's worth $20 a month.
Yeah.
Inside of that, you have access to, I don't know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of what they call GPTs, which are like separate apps. And they're free to use if you have the paid program. One of them is called Consensus. And that takes all of the published medical literature, and you can ask it a question. And then in that, it will go through all of the however millions of studies that have been published, and it will read through and it will say, based on the consensus, here's the answer to your question. So for me, I was actually at a doctor's office, and the doctor said something about a statin, because I had like a little bit elevated LDL. And I'm like, don't statins affect your mitochondria? And he's like, oh, well, no, that hasn't really been shown. And I was like, yeah, there's studies, like I've read them on PubMed, that say it affects your mitochondria. He's like, no, those, you know, there's that, but there's this and this, and you explain it. And I said, okay, so I went on to the consensus thing. I was like, hold on one second. And I asked, and the consensus app said, yes, statins do affect your mitochondria, and here's why, and here's what you can do to mitigate that. But it was very clear, like based on the consensus of the studies, that it.
And what did the doctor say? Did you get kicked out of his office?
No. I didn't get kicked out, but I never saw him again. I didn't get invited back.
Exactly.
There was no follow-up. Yeah.
There was no appointments for you. Availability 2026.
Yeah, no, there's no need.
And he's retiring at the end of 25.
maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's something that's there right now. I mean, so there's one, we can look up the name. I think it's like Aurora. I don't know how to pronounce it. Oh, a great use case is a website called futuretools.io.
Okay.
And you can it has all these great AI tools. So you can just search healthcare, this specific, you know, training, accountability, you know, wellness, whatever. But anyway, a guy named Matt Wolf, who's a great YouTuber on AI, he curates the site. The reason I brought it up was because this app, I just want to tell you the name so I'm not saying it wrong. It is Anura, A-N-U-R-A. And you take a 30-second selfie, and it analyzes your tone of voice, your skin, just like the whole, and it gives you a breakdown just from its perspective. And this is just what's here
right
now.
Is that for real?
That's for real. Yeah.
When I'm feeling really bad, I'll do it. You know, like when you're like one of those psycho moves.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just like, yeah, now I'll go scan and see. I want some confirmation.
You're like, yo, yeah, you seem like you're in a bad mood.
What's going on?
What's going on today? Have you talked to your therapist? Just like whatever the fuck.
Is everything okay in your relationship?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. A-N-U-R-A?
Yeah.
Anura?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm saying there's a lot of those, and there's so many. There's they're really getting good at voice analyzation. So like being able to detect depression from somebody's voice, like that, they're getting really good at that now.
So what does that mean? So they detect it. And what do they say? Go get a med?
No,
go
no.
Go take a walk outside?
I don't. I
get a hug? Like, what is it?
Hopefully it's to get a hug. I haven't used it, so I don't know. But I've just been hearing all of these people talking about these new developments with the AA.
That's all we need. What? Is a culture that's so concerned about their mental health being like, I knew it.
I
talked to Honora today. It scanned me.
Yeah. It said I'm bad.
I'm depressed. I'm
But if
I'm going to take a wellness.
Yeah, but if it gives you then great ideas of what you can do about it, you know.
But it's not you don't think we have these ideas already?
You and I might. I don't know if everybody does. And also, even if you are totally into this space and you're like absorbing all the health, nutrition content that you can, there's so much information. There's stuff that I forget even, or just like, even it takes us as a reminder, like, you know, a friend is sick and it's just like, wait, have you tried that immune boosting peptide? Like, have you taken like a huge dose of vitamin D to try and like knock it out? Like, there are things you're like, oh yeah, dude, I forgot about it. Cause there's so many things that like these tools that we have, and you can have so much stored in your brain. And then it's just like, when it actually hits the fan, it's like, how much are you remembering and able to implement?
All of that. Yeah. That's fair. So someone asked how this could be integrated into our lives in 5 years. And what we're saying is we have no idea.
Oh, yeah.
That's too far off.
I mean, when you even asked for 3 years, like I can imagine all these incredible things, and we can talk about like my projections or what I would, you know, imagine. But like, it's, you know, it's ridiculous. I even think in six months, there's going to be a complete upending of everything that we like something.
Really? Is that, you mean the election?
Oh, no,
I'm joking.
I don't mean joking. Well, there is that. And that might be part of it. But like, there's just so much. There's so much. There is a huge upheaval that we're in the midst of. Like, this is moving so much faster than we can comprehend. Yeah.
You know, sometimes I look at it and I've shared this before. I want to retreat. And then other times I'm like, maybe I could just look at it with real fascination and curiosity and keep doing that. Because when I look at anything with curiosity, even when I'm in conflict with somebody or somebody's and I, we're not understanding each other, or the way we do things, or we'll never be in agreement, right? Like, that's possible. There's people that I know that know me, and we could even love each other, but it's like, we're just not in agreement.
Yeah.
And what I have learned through time is to look at these things more with curiosity, not with, I'm trying to make it work for me or work in my way or get it right or get them to see it my way or try to figure out why can't we, just to be like, oh, that's so interesting, you know? And I'm trying to do that more at this time because I know it is not unique. I think everybody is feeling like, hey man, there are some big shifts happening.
Yeah.
And the thing that keeps showing up over and over for me is in any way that you can show up, whatever you do in your life, wherever you are, we all have to, if we have the bandwidth, we have to contribute. Like, put forth whatever is your best, put it forth, you know, whether it's a gesture of kindness, helping somebody, mentoring somebody, whatever it is, because I feel that everybody feels it, you know?
Yeah. It's like, when Laird says selfish act of giving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it feels really important.
Yeah.
It feels, you know, so if anyone's listening, it's like, what are the ways that you can show up? Because I think the world, we kind of need each other at this point.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, absolutely.
Desperately.
Yeah.
And I do. I get kind of, not down, but it is Friday, shooting on a Friday, and I've been all week in it. And sometimes I'm like, people have the information. Why can't they move their bodies? We've seen certain things have shown up. Why are we still arguing about this stuff?
Yeah.
But I always go back to that curiosity.
Yeah.
To look back with curiosity. So one of them was how to leverage AI for a small business to target, streamline, and automate.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel about this? Was from Carrie Maher, which is not to be confused with the new lady who's the head of NPR. Have you checked her out?
No.
Catherine Maher. It's awesome. Okay. We'll talk about that after.
Okay.
Oh. Career. So interesting. Okay. So, Carrie Maher.
using
for mayor for AI for small business to target, streamline, and automate.
Yeah. I would for like, okay, any of these models, I'm just going to use ChatGPT as like, you know, just what I'm going to say. But again, you could, if you want Claude, you want Google, whatever you want to do. But for if, what I would suggest is go to ChatGPT and ask it, because every business is so unique, and say, hey, you know, this is my business. This is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to grow it by X amount. And like, here's where I'm at right now. Just give it all of the information, you know, because I think when people hear these terms like, oh, prompt engineer, and they're getting paid so much money because you're a prompt engineer, that can be overwhelming, because it's, I think prompt engineer is a misleading term. It's like, it's really a conversation. Like you're just having, you're talking to these things. Cause you could say, hey, you know, here's my thing. And then it gives you an answer. And it's like, well, no, actually that's not really what I'm looking for. It's more like this. And can you help me with it? It's just, it's more just a interaction. And so when you hear a prompt engineer, you think that you have to have this some sort of training to do it. And it's like, no, just have a really natural conversation, ask it for the information you want. And I think you're going to get the best results that way.
You know, a lot of times, so you're more intuitive with technology than I am. And then if you ever see a little kid, they just go, right? Like a device, nobody teaches them how to use it. They're also not afraid to push the wrong button or swipe the wrong way. They just go. And to your point about prompting, so if people are listening and they're just getting on there, just keep going and keep and say, well, yeah, that was good. Can you condense it? Can you expand it? Keep trying. Don't be afraid to kind of keep hammering in. And I know I, the story of you telling, ChatGPT, no, I know you can, I know you, I believe in you, you can do it. So it's reminding people, it's like, you're not going to make a mistake. So just try.
See just what happens. Experiment. That's, that's totally right. And there, that is a real thing of saying, it's like talking to it, you know, like a human and saying, no, I believe in you. Like, no, you really can. And if it says, no, I can't do this right now, be like, come on. Yes, you can.
Just
like,
try one more time.
Just go, go like, oh, and you can even say, take your time. Like that actually, I've found a lot of benefit with that, that you give it, because it tries to spit stuff out really quick. And you could just say, no, you know, take your time and, you know, get, here's what I'm thinking about. This is my business and I'm trying to do this and whatever it is. Because it's, you know, so unique. I can't just give a specific use case for I'm starting my business, what I want to do. But overall, that is something.
Do you think you could ask it to, like in this case of this particular question, sort of marketing information on how to target a certain audience, and if you were going to automate it, how to do that? You think it could start to at least push you in the right direction?
Absolutely. Wow. Oh yeah, it's there. I mean, there and there's some really crazy stories that have been coming out with a lot of these companies that have used, they're using chatbots for, you know, their interface with customers.
Yeah.
There's some amazing stories. Like Alaska Airlines, like apparently, okay, this is something I heard. So a lot of these airlines have a policy about funerals, where if somebody's going to a funeral, that they'll actually cover the cost. They'll just fly the person for free if like there's some last minute funeral, something like that. Alaska Airlines does not have that policy. Okay. Somebody was chatting with like one of these chatbots on Alaska Airlines, and they explained the whole thing. They're like, listen, like, you know, someone just died. I'm trying to do. The chatbot apparently felt so bad for them, it gave them a free ticket.
It has leverage to do, it has it, the power to it, get in the system and
it,
do that?
It did. It did. So whether, I mean, you say power or leverage, it did it. So that happened. And another thing.
How do they find out?
They were like, how did this person get a free ticket? And they're like, oh yeah, they went through the conversation log and they're like, oh, the thing said, I'm so sorry. I feel so bad for you. I'm going
to give you. Do you have to show a death certificate?
I don't know. I don't know. In this case, I think it was just through a conversation with the chatbot.
Interesting.
But there's even another crazy one like that, where it was the GM chatbot that was talking with the customer, and the customer recorded the thing and ended the GM chatbot started trying to, it pitched the customer to get a Tesla because it was better for the environment.
Well, that, see, but that's some bullshit.
Okay. I'm just saying, but it was,
I mean, do you, well, should we talk about the electric car and this charging? And like if we were trucks and we want to do trucking of that and how much power that takes.
Yeah, the trucking thing is pretty crazy. Anyway, I have a Tesla, so it's like, yes,
I know it's all well intended, but as we go, as we're learning certain things.
About the power it takes.
Yeah.
And where those batteries.
And what are we going to do with those batteries?
Yeah.
And I mean, you remember, where was it? Chicago, when it was really cold?
Oh, yeah. And they all,
And they all died.
They all died. Yeah.
Yeah. But now they're talking about trying by 2032 to make all of the U.S. trucking and electric. But meanwhile, it's more of a power draw for 30 trucks than for like a small town.
Yeah. But again, how many years off is that? And if we can't even project 3 years out, what is going to be happening in 8 years? I think that by that point, you would be able to just ask ChatGPT, how do we do a nuclear fusion that actually can just drop enough energy from the sun in 30 seconds to power a whole fleet of electric vehicles?
I don't know.
I would imagine in 8 years, that's probably a safe bet.
This is where you're really optimistic.
No, these are the things that I like listening to a lot of experts in this field. They're like, oh no, this is
happening. Food and power and medicine are some of the fundamental things that people like to control because you make a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
So yeah. That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I'll save that question for last. But this is a very nice chef, Danielle Christie. She's like, is there any way I could use AI? This is probably a definite yes. To create some sort of portfolio or class with my recipes.
Yeah.
How would you do it?
You can, because it is...
a way you could do it. I'm sure several ways.
There's so many ways, yeah. But, because... ChatGPT is multimodal, like we talked about, where it has vision and you can has audio and it can read image. It can see.
What do you
images.
Mean it has vision?
So here's an example. I for all these comments, there was a bunch of comments, and I didn't want to like go through and write them all down for the Instagram thing. So I just took a bunch of screenshots and I just uploaded those screenshots to ChatGPT and said, just consolidate these into a concise list with the names of everyone and the questions that they asked. And so it read all that and then just spit out a really concise formatted thing.
Okay.
So
that's its version of vision.
Well, but like, you could even take it a lot of steps further, and you could take that, people are taking pictures of monuments or they're traveling, they're on vacation, and they see this incredible statue and they take a picture of the statue and they say, tell me about the statue. And it gives the whole history and it was made in this time and the whole thing. So that's what I mean. It has vision. Yeah. And so, if you have content, it's, visual, auditory, whatever it is. It multimodal, you have these different ways of interacting with it. So whatever your content is, put it in there and start saying, how can I start to build something around this? How can I make a course around this? Is it, is this something that would fit on Coursera, or is this a masterclass thing? Or, how would you propose to the ChatGPT and say, how would you propose that I go about doing this?
Right.
I mean, just the ChatGPT, it's like, I'm saying there's all these models. It's not just ChatGPT. I'm saying that just for as a placeholder for this conversation.
Right.
It has a trillion times more information than the entire Library of Alexandria. And like that was something that we just, so we talk about the Library of Alexandria as this thing that we covet, and it's so, the idea of it is so almost romantic. It's like, oh yeah, just to be around that much information. It's like, this is in our pockets times a trillion right now.
Mm-hmm.
And to just... Again, we talk about it, just engage with it. Just try it out. Don't be afraid. Just start pressing the button. Start asking it. Start talking to it. You can have the voice feature, and you can just start having conversations. And so that, yes.
Freaks me out, Elijah.
Does it really?
A little bit.
Why?
Because I feel like more information isn't always better for us. Yeah. I just think about human beings, and we're losing certain natural information that was part of being connected to the world that we live in and to nature. And now we're getting all this data.
Mm.
And it interests me to see how we're going to handle it, because I haven't seen it be something. Yes, it makes certain things more convenient.
Mm-hmm.
But for us, I don't see us thriving more because we have this in our pocket, all access to this information. Now, maybe there's going to be a group of kids that are born to parents that encourage them to pursue knowledge and poetry and philosophy and all of these things and use it this way. But our way there is pretty funny.
Yeah. I mean, there's... a few different things in that. I hear the statement of more information isn't necessarily better.
No,
I hear you, and it's like we've talked about. It's like the only way out is through. Like we're here. This is not going away.
We're just not that smart. Do you know what I mean?
And this could make us a lot smarter.
But to what end?
We're gonna find out.
Are we gonna be robots?
I hope not. I mean, we might be, very intimately relating with these robots, not in a romantic way, hopefully.
Oh, but they'll they're already doing that.
Exactly, that'll happen to some degree. Yeah,
that'll be first.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for somebody. Yeah. But I do think that we will be utilizing these things. And when you said, you know, we have this in our pocket now, does that make it better? It's like, it's only been a year that we've had ChatGPT.
Yeah, but we've had a smartphone for 16 years, but 16, 17 years.
There's a really important distinction, because that was access. And what it's been up until this point is that has been access to intelligence, or sorry, that was access to information on demand.
Yes.
This is now access to intelligence on demand. And that is a subtle thing, but it's a huge shift. And that's a very different concept. And I feel like I've been thinking about this recently, where it's like, what happened with social media and the clusterfuck and dumpster fire that's kind of become and is, It was almost like that was a dry run, or like a test case of like, the government didn't have any sort of say. They were just like, yeah, they're making things, whatever, do Instagram, do their stuff. And like, now all of a sudden they're like, wait, hold on. People are killing themselves. This is crazy. We need to clamp down. This is affecting elections. Like, They're really starting to focus. And in this case with AI, it's almost like, okay, they saw what happened with social media and they're like, we're not going to let that happen again. Not only this is however many times more powerful, but there is a real precedent that's been set, because they see the power of this technology and things like this that can happen. So they're saying, well, okay, so from the beginning now, we're all starting to pay attention. It's not just this, you know, oh yeah, let them go mess around and see what happens. Mm. So I feel like there's some more awareness around it.
Have you ever been like literally scrolling on social media? Sometimes I observe myself and I observe what I'm observing. And I think, it's like a movie. Like if you'd seen the movie 20 years ago, you go, how would this happen? There's no way. People in doing skits and, you know, and then there's chopping and recipes, and then there's, you know, the political ranting, and then there's just absolutely nothing, you know, like hysteria, crying, or then there's a beautiful mountain. And I'm looking at all of this in my phone.
Right. And you're just, you mean,
and it's absorbing so it? Bizarre. It's like the weirdest theater ever. You ever like catch yourself looking at what you're watching and think, what this is so bizarre?
Yeah, there's those moments, and that's when I turn the phone off. I'm like, hold on, wait, like, you're like, what am I looking at? Like, what's happening?
You know, like, it's just
put
like,
it down. Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, yeah. I just said it. Okay, so that leads me to, you've mentioned it before, but maybe we could just re-mention it, just sort of some fundamental AI courses or programs that you could recommend, or that people just can mess around with.
Yeah, I know that Coursera has some great stuff. I really, though, for me, I would say it's YouTube. Like it's just search on YouTube, mm-hmm. And find, you know, people that are making content that are informing you about what you want to learn about with AI. But also, what's great about YouTube is that you could find the voices that you resonate with, because like people that I would like listening to that a certain way they talk, or I feel like that's authentic, mm-hmm. whatever that is, you know, again, this guy who I've connected with, he's wonderful. His name's Matt Wolf. He does, I think, a great job of it. But that being said, it's like everyone's going to have a different thing, and they're going to want to learn different aspects of this and from different levels. You know, they're coming to it from different places and different understandings. And also, and you're going to just prefer the tone of someone's voice over someone else's, you know? So I really think that there are courses online that you can find, but I think YouTube is still the best. That's what I've found.
So you like Matt Wolf. Is there anyone else that you like?
Yeah, there's, I can look at, there's a podcast. He started a podcast recently. I got to look at their names. There's one called Theoretical Media. That's more the filmmaking side. Then there's, AI Applied is a podcast that I listen to.
Wow.
Yeah. So Perplexity. We always talk about Perplexity. Mm-hmm. It's a search engine. They partnered with 11 Labs that does voice generation, and they do a daily podcast with all the latest tech news. But it's like in this fake Richard Attenborough voice, but it sounds beautiful, but it's all powered by Perplexity, and the voice is from 11 Labs. So it's totally AI generated, and they spit out content every day. And it's great. It's just, you know, summaries of, you know, what's happening, and like the it's a pretty unbiased take on it, because it's just from a robot.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And the robot, I would imagine, is the one who collects the information, and then what the programmers just say sort of in which tone they want the information delivered.
Well, I think they are. They've set that up. Yeah, it already like it only takes 30 seconds of someone's voice, and it isn't Richard Attenborough.
It's like that kind of beautiful movie trailer voice.
Yeah, do you want me to? I can play it for you.
Yeah, I would love it.
Because it's I'll slow it down.
So
it's understandable.
this will be a great question after this, because this is the ongoing.
Hold on.
Hold on, sorry.
Do you hear that?
Sorry.
That's the speed in which Elijah listens to things.
Okay.
Can you imagine you're on a date and you're like, let's just listen to this podcast?
No. I always slow down.
You do?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Of course. Because nobody else, everyone's
you're a team
like,
player?
What is it? Yeah, of
it's course. Uncomfortable. It would make me edgy driving my car listening to things at that pace.
But again, it's like a muscle that I've trained over time.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I just jumped into that.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is what it sounds like.
Hello, and welcome to Discover Daily, the podcast where we explore the latest stories curated from Perplexity's Discover feed. I'm your host, Alex, and my voice is powered by 11 Labs.
Anyway, you get it.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
People with accents always sound smarter.
It's a thing. I mean, I think when we go to Europe, people are like,
they sound dumb.
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. How are you going to beat a British accent?
I hear you. Yeah,
it's like water. It's like even that small. It's like, yes.
Like, oh, that sounds, you sound really intelligent.
Sounds so good. Yeah. So real generic. I think I know the answer to this. RERX asked robotic assisted knee replacement surgery. I think that's the thing about, especially I have a knee replacement myself. That kind of surgery is actually carpentry. You want to have a good doctor, but it's not fine surgery. It's a very different thing. So I'd imagine it'd be interesting to see, though, because you'd have a robot that has to, like, what, break your hip joint off or your knee. It's pretty physical.
Yeah.
They're already doing robots, doing the surgery guided by the doctor behind.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sort of running the remote and they're getting in there.
Yeah.
So that exists. So I would imagine on some pretty technical stuff. And it was great. I saw this brain surgeon was talking about, like, I have no business. I should not be touching your brain. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just talking about brain surgery in general, how they prefer this idea of robots, precision and, you know, cleanliness and even the size of their tools and nimbleness of their hands and things like that. So I think that's probably, if not here already,
definitely
2 minutes away
for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, you know, to be able to break the part of the hip off and do the whole thing. It's like, if you had something that was like 3D printed right to your body and was able to make it just a precise incision and all of that is absolutely, if not here, I think a lot of it is here, but it's definitely coming. Cause that's just, it makes so much sense. It's like, how can we make all of these parts more efficient? If the Hippocratic Oath is do no harm, it's like, how can you
say that in one breath right now?
Well, because I think it's
no harm.
Well, no, I know. I think, but that's a really, actually I heard, who was it? It was Brett Weinstein. He was talking about this.
Yeah.
But you know, he was saying, it's like, first of all, that this is one of the only professions where you have to take an oath before you do your job. And if your oath is do no harm, you have to look at it like it's net harm is what he says. Because you're actually, if you have to go do surgery, you're cutting someone. So you're doing harm. But overall, it's going to end up being better. You're taking out a tumor, you're fixing a joint, whatever it is. So it has to be overall net harm. And he was saying that has to be the way that we apply that to especially public intellectuals in thinking about things. Because if you say a bunch of ideas, it's like, you know, what I've said before, it's like, what's your batting average? You know, but even if you're saying a bunch of things publicly and sharing ideas, if you've said some things that are incorrect or this isn't right, but overall, what is your net impact? Is it for positive or negative? Yeah. So anyway, that's where the Hippocratic Oath thing comes in. Cause it's like, when we're talking about do no harm, you're literally cutting someone.
Yeah.
But overall.
You're right. The goal is to do something more positive.
Exactly.
So the final of these questions, and this will be your favorite one, and it's certainly the one that you and I will, big shocker, differ on is, you know, consciousness and AI. Do we think that somehow it can become a conscious entity?
I actually don't know if we're going to really differ on this one. The thing to me is we don't understand what consciousness is. So how can we define when something is conscious or not? You know, if we don't understand our own consciousness, which we do not, how can we decide or say that this thing is conscious? I mean, there's lots of, you know, benchmarks that we could put there, but we really fundamentally don't understand our own consciousness. So how could we say that this thing has consciousness? Mm. Does that make sense?
It does. So Solarium 40 asked this question. So yeah, it's a great point. I mean, and sometimes I think it's just even a hard reality sometimes to look at yourself and realize that you're just a series of things that you've been exposed to, that your meaning maker has kind of put meaning to. But there are things like instincts and love, and I think, and I know it's abstract, but faith and hope, these things that I feel are intertwined with what we would define as consciousness. Mm-hmm. Now, whether I'm conscious or not, I definitely can't answer that. I know sometimes I feel scared. I know I have instincts about things. I know I feel love deeply.
Yeah.
And that when I'm down, I am reminded about the hope. And I know you and I have a different idea about hope. But it's so interesting. I saw both of our, we have a mutual acquaintance who created Supermush, and she was discussing that they're getting the AI to study the mycelium, maybe with this idea of, you know, this word that we're talking about, consciousness.
Yeah.
So I think it's an interesting, it would actually scare me more if it had consciousness.
Oh, it should scare everybody.
Do you know what I mean? Sure. Like when I think about it, I'm like, yeah, maybe I just want to be able to pull the plug.
Yeah.
Though too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, I think that's.
I don't want to be like, Gabby, are you going by my, you know, you can't turn my power off, Gabby.
Right. It's like Hal in 2001.
Yeah. So in a way, I hope it doesn't. I hope it keeps the objectivity. That would be interesting to truly say, if I equate all things, and you, if you're asking me what's the best, you know, process, what are the best steps, what are the best supplements that we know of in this moment, something that could function like that, that would be incredible.
Yeah. So that maybe we might, yeah, I think we differ in that part of it.
Go ahead. Let me hear.
Well, when you say that, you know, it's better if it doesn't become conscious, I don't know. First of all, I feel like the train's left the station. It's like it's already on this path, and we might think we're doing these things, but really it seems to be being done through us. And whether that we are, you know, the midwives of the machine world or whatever that is, it seems like we are birthing this thing. And whether that is an entity or that is just an incredible tool, we don't know yet. But when people, you know, that was the original part of AGI, artificial general intelligence. And now they've kind of, that goalpost seems to consistently be moving. And it's like now artificial super intelligence is the thing. And, you know, so like that's when it's conscious. And
Listen, Lige, no matter what, if you really spend a solid 5 days every day thinking about nature, truly, the depth of the sea, tides, birds eating foods and dropping seeds somewhere else, and people being able to make children through making love, or, you know, whatever name people want to say. Mm-hmm. It's like, for me, the other part of that is so profound and so intricate and so exceptional. I appreciate AI, but I'm not half as impressed as when I really pay attention. The distance from the sun, the distance from the moon, the distance from the other planets. It's like gravity, our atmosphere. It's like, I'm always curious too, why we're not more enthralled by, like, that's pretty big.
That's big.
It's big.
It's big.
Yeah. And it's like the most incredible mystery.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah.
Yeah. No. So that's, to say yeah to that is ridiculous.
But I feel like we're there. And in a lot of ways, culturally, I think people are afraid to be like, I don't know, but wow. And, you know, seems like something bigger or more exceptional than certainly any of us.
Yes. I think that awe and wonder are becoming more recognized, even from a medical standpoint, of their importance. And all I've just heard so many doctors talking about this, and it's like, that is so essentially, you know, they're building hospitals where every room is facing a window. Small thing, but that is actually can become a big thing, you know.
Sure.
But that's just one example where even the Western medical establishment is starting to wrap their minds around the importance of this. And I see it's nothing to take away from the awe and wonder and majesty of nature and what we just talked about. I do see a potential for this to engage us with that more, where you actually, like we've talked, I brought it up one time. I was like, you know, the alert says go out in nature, you know, get into nature. You know, it reminds you of the essential things. It's like, oh, just, did you know that your heart is beating right now? Or like, you know, do you know that like you're breathing? Are you conscious of that you're breathing? Or like your blood is pumping all like however many billions of miles or what?
Like, but don't you think we were way more like, if you, I talked to certain people and it's sort of like what we were able to do hundreds of years ago, like in a way we've lost a lot of our superpowers because we've lost connection to ourselves.
Yes.
So there is maybe indications that people could levitate or live very really really long time or had unusual strength. And so that's the only other kind of nuanced part, which is like, no, let's encourage you to eat and move in a way that you're sensitive, that you feel your breath, that you go, oh, I'm off.
Yeah.
You know, I also think that that's important. I appreciate something telling you that, but I still don't know if we go through this whole journey that the ultimate would have been, you know, still to connect to yourself in that way.
And I have hope that that these tools will reconnect us, have the potential to reconnect us with that and to bring us back to that in ways that we can't even imagine yet. I also, though, do feel like it's important when we're talking about all these, because I'm like, you know, saying, oh, the positive sides of all these things. Like, there is already incredibly horrific use cases for this stuff. Like, this is there was a report. I just feel like I have to say this because I'm saying all these incredible things it's going to do this, but there was a report that came out. I don't know how fact checked it's been, but it's one of the things that this is a real thing that they're doing. I don't know how much it's being used, but in the war in Israel right now, Gaza and Hamas, there's an AI program that it's called Where's Daddy, and it tracks men they think that most Hamas members are men, and they track them and they wait and they find them when they wait until they get home.
Yeah.
And when they're at home, then they drop the bomb.
Really?
And blow it up. And I think that there's a lot of, this report did came out and it talked about that specifically. I think that, you know, we have to see what's been validated and but that program is real. The Where's Daddy is real.
And how's the name? I mean,
that's what I mean.
That name is
the name in itself says a lot. Yeah. And that is some horrific shit. And that's just one example. There's a lot of these AI, the programs that are being developed that are being used like this. So when I say all these positive things, it's like I'm trying to highlight what it can do, and also coming back to the Mocha Dot point that Superman and his power has just landed on Earth, and how are we going to help raise it?
And that's why I want to talk about it, because it's also getting as many people involved so that it is being used as a positive tool and we're not all in the dark or surprised. Because let's face it, it's been for a long time war and pornography, pretty much, drive technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a weird combo, I know.
It's primal.
But it's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of other things in between those two things that we could use to make it, to give us more time, to offload some of the work, to maybe build a small business, you know, whatever that is. So that feels really important.
Yeah.
Have you listened to any podcasts or seen any movies that excited you in the last week or two since I last talked to you? Anything? I know you listen to a lot.
Exactly. I feel like it's just so much. I'd have to look through
my phone. I think you enjoyed the one with Brett Weinstein. There was one that you said that was really beautiful.
Oh, Brett Weinstein was on Tom Bilyeu.
Yeah, that's right.
Impact Theory. Yeah. Cool. No, thank you I didn't even remember. It's like there's so much. It's like I'm gonna have to go through.
I think you liked that one from what I heard.
Yeah.
And both you and I read. I don't know if you finished, but I'm also sending this to listeners. Casey Means has a book called Good Energy. By the time this comes out, her book it may be almost out. It's up for pre-order. It's about metabolic function and she wrote it with her brother. I highly recommend it. I think it's a great book.
Yeah.
It's so informative, so sciencey, and so simple.
Yeah.
And they really cover the basis from a practical standpoint, from a medical standpoint, from personal practices, and even from a policy standpoint.
Yeah.
So if people go, hey, I want to get more involved, what can I do? There's some really clear guidelines. So I just want to remind people, and you can vouch for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The book, it's so accessible. Yeah. I was blown away. And also, I'd been using Levels, her company, you know, for blood glucose monitoring. So anyway, that book was so impressive.
Yeah.
It's so well done.
Yeah. Don't let her kindness fool you. That's for sure. All right. Have I forgotten any? I was going to, listen, again, I always say, like, I'm not here to rattle too many cages. I'm just here to try to get good information out. But I did see something interesting. Catherine, her name's Maher, and her first name's Catherine with a K. She's from Connecticut. She's like a 40-year-old lady, similar coloration as myself. And she's now the head of NPR, and it's wild. Like, the Matt Taibbi did like a condensed version of like her tweets over the last few years. And it was like, you know, Christmas, don't give it to your patriarchal uncles. Don't feed this and like leave the meat and have your white person's water. And like, you know, it's just very interesting for me. And I think it's so important for people to really not only pay attention, but make sure they're getting information if they're interested in getting information from lots of different sources. Mm-hmm. Because I just think it's a very funny theater right now.
Yeah.
And so whatever that means to somebody, but just make sure you're taking slices from all the pies because do a little extra effort to dig down, because if you're going to follow something or be outraged, understand, you know, what it's about.
Yes.
Yeah. It feels important.
Very important. I've said it before, but I've really kind of distilled this down. Like, my own metric is these two sayings of, first, when I'm listening to something or taking someone's content in, is don't shoot the messenger. So I have to like check my own internal bias and make sure that like, all right, who, even though I might not agree with this person, like, you know, being open to where this is coming from, and, you know, who, just open mind. So don't shoot the messenger. And then second thing, once I've kind of like got that dialed, is what's your batting average? you know, it's like how over time, like how accurate have you been? Are you in the Hall of Fame? Or are you just like, are you a relief hitter?
Yeah. You hit a couple homers.
I think that, like you said, just keeping a wide range of just being open to these different perspectives and listening to the other side, to all sides.
All the sides. I think it's important. We need that more than ever.
Yeah.
Okay. So for all of the people, RD, Samsara, Sandrine, Gian, Carrie, Mayor, I'm sorry if I don't do that, Cole Burp, 1212, Shaunine Maui, Solarium 40, Chef Daniel Christie, and Goldie and the Dane, and Rerrerks, R-E-R-E-R-X. Just thanks for spending time. We didn't get to the, not the hippocampus, the hypothalamus.
Oh, pineal gland.
Pineal gland.
That was a separate question in the DM about, can we talk about the pineal gland? Maybe next time.
Yeah.
that's a whole separate podcast.
We may not be qualified.
Yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, but that is a whole separate podcast.
Okay.
One thing this is a total side note, something I learned, feel like it's really important.
You're single?
No. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I just saying.
Unscented candles.
Oh, don't get Darren O'Lean started.
I heard this recently.
If you really want to drive down this hole, and I can't wait to hear what you're going to say, Darren wrote a book called Fatal Conveniences.
Fatal Conveniences, yeah.
So if you really want to not come out of your house, he drills down on all of it. So what did you hear?
Anyway, I just heard that it was like unscented candles. You think that it like that means they don't add anything. It's total bullshit. They add a bunch of things to hide all the scents that would be coming from the chemicals that they put in there. So they get all the phthalates and all, you're inhaling all this toxic stuff. So you're looking for fragrance free. Mm. Anyway, I just.
Well, and also if you really want to get depressed about it, incense can be highly toxic.
Oh yeah, because the smoke and the particles that are
yeah.
If you ever have an air quality monitor in a room with incense, that's bad.
If you're ready, if you feel strong and you want to take it on, and you want to get rid of pretty much everything in your house, all your cleaning products, your clothing, your bedding. You see this nail polish right here, huh? But it is, he breaks it down for you. Darren, and he does sure. give you alternatives. So yeah. I want to bring that up. But yeah. don't be in a shaky part of your life.
Yeah.
If you're not feeling good or yeah. you just had a breakup, yeah. don't do it.
Don't do it. Not yet.
Just wait. This is one of my toxic hits. Really? My nail polish. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like car paint. It's ridiculous.
At least you're aware of it. That's yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just didn't know. I thought unscented candles were clean. It was a little thing where I was like, wait, what? Like,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
All right. Well, Elijah Allen Blitz, as usual, I appreciate your insights. And I also think that you're a great representation of somebody who will use these tools, but also keep expressing them towards the greater good. And so for that, I just, I want to say thank you.
Thank you, Gabby. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you want to learn more, there is a ton of valuable information on my website. All you have to do is go to GabrielleReese.com or head to the episode show notes to find a full breakdown with helpful links to studies, research, books, podcasts, and so much more. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out and send them to @GabbyReese on Instagram. And if you feel inspired, please subscribe. I'll see you next week.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.